All right, take your Bibles if you haven't, turn to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. Preach a message the Lord laid on my heart. He gave me this message several years ago. I haven't preached it here yet, but I feel like this is what He has us to do this morning. Romans chapter number 5, and we're going to look at verse number 20. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 20. I love church. I love being a part of church and being a part of a church family. And seeing these kids in church and raising them in church. And I thank God that my parents, just like Brother Daniel, raised me in church. I've been in church my whole life. I told y'all since 9 months before I was born. I never had a choice either growing up, brother. I was in church. And I thank God for it. Somewhere down the line, God saved me. God called me to preach. I surrendered my life to Him. And somewhere down the line, He became my God. He became real to me. And what a blessing it is to see that and hear the testimony. Young people, you don't have to have a testimony of being in the world. You don't have to have that testimony. You can have a testimony of being raised in church and growing up in church. That's the best testimony in the world to have. And I know sometimes the other testimony, and it's great to see somebody that lived out in the world. They might not have lived a great life or a sinful life and not grew up in church, and they've been out and they get saved. God saves an old drunk or an old dope head or whatever the case might be. That's wonderful to hear about that. But I love hearing the testimony of somebody saying, I've never been out in the world. I've never had any liquor. I've never done this and I've never done that. It's a good testimony to have. Romans chapter number 5, if you found your place, say amen. I'm going to read down Romans chapter 5, verse 20, and I'm going to read through chapter 6, verse number 6, and then give you this message this morning. Romans chapter number 5, verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Chapter 6, verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we had been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Just as a way of introduction this morning, I'd like to say that the very moment that you got saved, God considered your old man to be dead. Dead as a doorknob. Amen. Just dead and gone. Now, has anybody in here ever played paintball before? Anybody ever played paintball? Okay, several people have played paintball. I wasn't anything special, but when I lived in Ohio, I played on a semi-pro paintball team. And we enjoyed it. I loved doing it. And I worked at a paintball field and was able to go out and actually help run the paintball field. And we would have orientation. And we would bring all the people up. We'd have school kids come. We'd have church groups come. We'd have business people come out and try to, they said, this is good teamwork. Shoot each other. That was a teamwork. That was a team build work. They'd get companies to come out and come out and shoot each other, amen? And I guess your opportunity to take it out on the boss, amen? Light them up. But we'd get them out there, and it never failed, but it was usually always the church groups, the kids of the church group. We'd get them out there, we'd line them up, and we'd go over the safety orientation. We'd say, this is the paintball gun. This is how you shoot the gun. This is the plug you put in the end of the gun. And, you know, we try to go over all the safety things. This is your goggles and your mask. When we get out there and play, we're going to divide you up in two teams. And the object is to shoot everybody on the other team and be the last team standing. If you get hit by a paintball, you're supposed, if it breaks on you and you get hit, you're supposed to put your gun above your head and walk off the field saying, dead man walking. Dead man walking. And I would always have one boy or girl or one of the teenage boys that didn't have any sense at all say, why would we do that? Well, you do that so you don't keep getting shot. So we said, if you see somebody walking off the field with a gun above their head and they're holding it like this and they're saying, dead man walking, that means he's dead. Don't shoot him anymore. Of course, his buddies never followed along with that. They'd shoot him anyway. And then we would always have boys say, well, how do you know if you get hit? I said, you'll know if you get hit. Trust me. I promise there'll be a whelp left. And if the paint breaks on you, you're out. You need to put the gun above your head, say, dead man walking. And then it would never fail. Every time we did the orientation, some smart aleck would say, wait a minute, dead people can't talk. And it never failed. We do the orientation, they say, wait a minute, dead people can't talk. And, you know, we just say, listen, just put the gun above your head and say, dead man walking, I'm hit, I'm out, and get off the field. Because if not, they're going to keep shooting you. And it does not feel good to keep getting shot. Now, my brother, he was one of the referees, and he's crazy. He enjoyed getting hit with paintballs. He'd be a referee, and he would go running through the fire. He's crazy. Not everybody's normal, and he was crazy for doing that. But they'd walk on the field saying, dead man walking. Well, you know, when you got saved, the very moment that you knelt at the altar or you knelt beside the bed or wherever you were in the car or wherever it was you got saved, the moment you stood up, you could stand up and say, dead man walking. You say, what do you mean by that? I'm talking about that old man, that old nature is dead. Whenever God saved you, He gave you a new man. You became a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus, and that old man is considered dead. When God looks at you, He's given you the victory over sin, and He considers that old man to be dead. And I want to preach that for a few minutes this morning on dead man walking. Because if you're saved in here today, every one of us are a dead man walking. We're new, we're alive in Christ Jesus, but that old man is dead. Up to this point in the book of Romans, Paul's given us the necessity of salvation. Look at Romans 5:1. I'll keep you right here in Romans. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Paul's given us the necessity of salvation. He's given us the means by which we are saved. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved by faith. By grace through faith, add nothing, take nothing away. We're saved by grace through faith. We have been told by Paul that we are doomed because of sin. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, it is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Verse 13, for until the law sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. We have been doomed because of the sin of Adam. Adam sinned way back in the Garden of Eden, and ever since then, man has been doomed and has been dying because of that sin. But praise the Lord, Jesus Christ came to be that sacrifice for us. He came to be the sacrifice for sin. Look at verse number 17 of chapter 5. Verse 17 of chapter 5. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So because of sin, man was doomed, but Jesus Christ came and He took that sin payment. In the day that you got saved, the very moment you got saved, you accepted what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary for you. And He saved you. And you became born again. You became a new creature, a new creation, the very moment He saved you. And so Paul starts here at the end of chapter number 5, and through the next three chapters, Paul gives instructions to the Christian on how they're supposed to live. Do you realize that as a child of God, thank God when you got saved, hell is no longer your home. But there's more to the Christian life than just being saved. There's a certain way Christians ought to live. There's a certain way Christians ought to talk. There's a certain way Christians ought to dress. You say, why? Because it's not about us anymore. We're magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about your flesh. It's not about what pleases you anymore. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul gives us instructions on how to live. And I want to look for a few moments this morning on dead man walking. Paul gives us instructions on how a dead man should live. You say, Brother Andrew, that sounds weird, how a dead man should live. Well, we have to be given instructions on how a dead man ought to live. If you're saved in here this morning, you have two natures. You have an old man and you have a new man. And it depends on which one you feed, which one you take care of, and which one is going to make it, amen? And that old man, it deserves to be told no. That new man, the old man is the one that doesn't like to sit up and read the Bible. The old man is the one where you're sitting there trying to read and you're falling asleep. The new man is the one that enjoys reading the Bible. The new man is the one that enjoys being at church. The new man, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God's in you, and they're singing about being a child of the King and about the heritage we have, and we're all God's children if you're saved. The new man enjoyed that. The new man said, well, praise God. You know, God is my Father. The old man is the one that's sitting here wondering when the preacher's going to shut up so we can go eat. The old man's the one that's in their mind. They might be somewhere else on a beach somewhere drinking lemonade. Every now and again, you know, when you're preaching, Brother Hutch, you've been preaching, you'll look out across and you'll see one person that's just gone. You ever been there when you're preaching, Brother Daniel? You'll look out. I'm not saying nobody's doing that right now, amen. I'm watching them. No, I'm not saying that's going on right now. He wasn't doing that. But every now and again, you'll be preaching and you'll look and somebody's gone. I've done it before. I've been sitting in church before and it'd either be too hot, it's borderline right now. Hey man, sitting in church, you get comfortable, you start falling asleep and you're gone. You know what that is? That's the old man. You know that new man, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, and that new man that He saves and seals and sanctifies and goes through that spiritual circumcision, all the great things that happen when you get saved, that new man is the one that enjoys the preaching of God's Word, enjoys hearing about people getting saved, enjoys the old hymns and songs of Zion. That's the new man. The old man's the one that says, it's cold, I'm not going to church. Or it's nice out, I'm going fishing instead of going to church. That's the old nature. That's the old man. But after you get saved, God considers that old man to be dead. That old man to be hard, where he can't harm you no more. And so Paul gives us instructions on how a dead man should live. Number one, I'd like to say that a dead man should realize the reality of their passing. They need to realize they're dead. Look there in verse number 1 with me again. Y'all still with me? Romans chapter 6 verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are what? That are dead to sin live any longer therein? You know one thing about a dead person? If we were to have a casket in here this morning and that man's laying in there, he's dead. Amen. There's a reality that sets in that person's dead, and they need to realize they're dead. I've heard stories of people walking by caskets and arm come flying up. Amen. Have y'all heard that happen before? Where they still? I don't know how all that works, but that spooks me out. If an arm came flying up, you can say, "Hey, man, you realize you're dead. You're not supposed to be moving." There's a reality there. They got to realize they're dead. That dead man's laying in there, man, and he's in that casket, and he knows he's dead because when he passed away or she passed away, she woke up in one or two places. I'm telling you what, when that time comes and you die, you'll know you're dead. Why? You'll be standing before God Almighty or you'll be in a burning hell. Either one of the two. And I pray that if you're in here this morning, you're going to be in heaven when you die. But there's one thing they realize real quick, they realize they're dead. You know what? We need to get some Christians to realize that old man is dead. We need to get them to come to the realization that old man is dead. That old man no longer can tell you what to do or how to do this and give you instructions. That old man is dead. Got to look in the mirror and say, sucker, you're dead. You're not telling me what to do. I'm going to church. I am reading my Bible. I am praying. I am going to witness. You're not going to tell me what to do because you're dead. Dead people don't have an opinion. Do they not? I've seen a man walk up to the casket, and they'll talk about how beautiful they look. They're dead. Amen? And they'll talk about how nice their clothes look and how the ring looks on the finger and go through all those different things, and there's nothing wrong with them wanting to do that. But that person can't enjoy any of that because they're dead. And I'm sorry, but I have yet to see a good-looking dead person. And there's no life in them at all. They're gone. They're dead. They're passed away. That is just a corpse that's laying there because they're gone. They're dead and they're gone. But there's an argument that's given. Look at chapter 5, verse 20. Chapter 5, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Have you ever heard this before? If grace abounds because sin abounds, then I can sin as much as I want to. Have you ever heard anybody give that argument before? Well, they say, listen, grace is greater than sin, and because grace is greater than sin, because grace abounds, I can sin as much as I want, and grace will just take care of it. You say, I've never heard anybody say that, but their life is lived where they believe that. You say, what do you mean? They do whatever they want to do. Christians today cannot stand up for God. They can't have a testimony because they live like the world and they just expect that it's all going to be okay. You can't do that. You can't just, hey, this thing's not about you. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just about you. It's about your wife and your family and your husband and your home and your children and your grandchildren. It's about receiving the blessings of God. But that, people use that argument. They'll say, well, because grace is greater than sin, and because grace is abounding, because sin's abounding, I can just sin and do whatever I want to do. Well, that's not the case, my friend. If you want the blessings of God in your life, and you want a relationship with God, you cannot do whatever you want to do. You know what you have to do? Number one, realize that you're dead. You got to realize that old man is dead, that he does not have the victory, that he does not have the say-so anymore, but people give that argument. Look at the answer to that argument in chapter 6, verse 2. Chapter 6, verse 2. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You know what Paul said? Paul just got to the point. He said, people think they can sin and do what they want, but if a person is dead to sin, they will no longer have the desire to sin. If we had a casket in here and there was a body laying in there, if he had a problem with alcohol, or if he had a problem with drugs or pornography or adultery or fornication or whatever it is, he no longer has that problem anymore. Why? He's dead. He's gone. You don't have to worry about him taking another drink of liquor or taking another cigarette or doing anything that would dishonor Christ because he's dead and gone. You know what Paul said about you? He said, you're dead to sin. If you're saved and you've been born again, you have to realize the reality of your passing and say, that old man is dead. Too many Christians today, or so-called Christians, cannot get victory over sin, and the reason is they don't want victory over sin. That dead man has no desire to drink another drop of any alcohol. That dead man has no desire to sin anymore. Why? He's dead. He's gone. That thing no longer has victory over him anymore. But if you're saved in here this morning, God gave you the victory over sin. And he considers that old man to be dead. And he said, you're dead to sin. We're a bunch of dead men walking around this morning if you're saved. But you have to realize the reality of the passing. Realize that he's passed away. You know, death brings about certain changes. The man that once struggled with the of alcohol no longer craves a drink. The woman that was a drug addict is released from all desires of the drugs. Why? They're gone. They're dead. Well, when God saved you, he did the same thing for you. He did the same thing for you. I said it a couple weeks ago when I was preaching. If there's a sin in your life that's got a hold of you, once you get saved, that sin no longer has a hold of you, and you can quit it with God's help. If you don't and you still do it, it's because you don't want the help. Because you want to keep feeding that old man. You want to try to keep him alive. I don't know in what cultures and stuff, but I've heard of it being done down in Louisiana in some places where people sit up with the dead. Y'all ever hear about that? Where somebody dies and they'll put them up in the church and they'll sit up with the dead all night. I'm not signing up for that job. I don't know. It just creeps me out. I don't like going to funeral homes. I don't like going where they embalm people. Amen. I'm not interested in any of that. And I don't want to be sitting up with the dead. Amen. But there's one thing for sure, man. If that person's dead, that they're gone. You don't have to worry about them doing nothing. Amen. At least you hope not. If he stood up, I'm out that door. I'm making a new door wherever there needs to be one if I see a dead person moving. But you know what you need to realize in your life as a child of God? That whatever sin, and it could be minor or big, it doesn't matter what it is. The devil knows what it is. But I'm telling you, you need to realize that you're dead. When a person gets saved, a change takes place. Back in the garden, Adam and Eve, God told them, in the day ye eat of this fruit, ye shall surely die. And we've been dying ever since then, spiritually speaking. But when God saves you, man, he kills off that old man. That old man no longer has the victory. That old man no longer has control. If you're lost in here this morning and you've got a sin you cannot get victory over, you can't get victory over it because you're lost. Because God's the one, Christ is the one that has to be in you to give you that victory. But if you're saved, you do have victory over it. God can give you that victory. What we said, what do I do, Brother Andrew? You've got to give it to him. Hand it over to him. Say, God, here it is. You gave me the victory. That old man's dead, and I don't want to serve him no more. And hand it over to God. A dead man cannot. A dead man doesn't have an opinion. He can't think for himself. He can't get his own way. Amen. He's dead. So you say, well, what are you getting at, Brother Andrew? I'm getting at every time your flesh wants to do something that's not right, you look at him in the mirror and say, you're dead. You don't have a choice. Dead people can't. Does the dead man have a choice on what color suit he's wearing? Amen. No. He doesn't have an opinion anymore. Now, he might have wrote it out before he died. You know, bury me in the purple suit or whatever. I don't know. But he don't have an opinion once he's dead. You can do whatever you want and dress him in whatever you want. He does not have one opinion. So what are you getting at, Brother Andrew? I'm getting at, when it comes to your old man, you need to tell him, you don't have a choice, sucker. We're going to church. We're going to read our Bible. We're going to pray. And you do not have an opinion because you're dead. Dead people can't talk. Be like that smart aleck teenager at the paintball field. Dead man can't talk. How's a dead person supposed to talk? Well, tell yourself that. No, whenever the devil or the world tempts me to do something wrong, I can look in the mirror and say, Andrew, you are dead. That old man is dead. God would not be pleased with that. We're not doing it, and you don't have a choice. Reckon yourself. Paul used that good old, in verse number 11, look at verse number 11. Likewise, reckon. That's a southern word, isn't it, reckon? He said, reckon yourself to be dead. Just say, hey, you're dead, sucker. You can't do nothing. You don't have a choice in the matter. Old man, he gets what he wants. All the time, the food, the music, the pleasures of this life, the pleasures of this world, the old man does whatever he wants to do. When the reality is he's dead and he needs to realize he's dead. Look at Romans chapter number 6, I just said verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Look at verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. You know what you need to tell the old man? You're dead. Live with it. Just deal with it. You're dead. And you don't have a choice in the matter anymore. Amen. I'm trying to help you. There's Christians all over in this world today that are so consumed with themselves and they're caught up in all this stuff of the world and they don't realize that old man is dead. And let me tell you, you say, what's this whole message about? It's not about you. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. This thing in the Christian life of serving God, of trying to receive the blessings of God, is about magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And our life ought to do that. And if it's going to do that, we got to reckon this old man to be dead. We have to look at him and tell him he's dead. He doesn't have an opinion. He doesn't have a choice in the matter. Do you know why prayer and fasting is such a great thing? And God talked about it. He said, howbeit this cometh but by prayer and fasting. You know why prayer and fasting? Because you're telling that old man, you're telling the flesh, no. You ever tried not eating for a week? And every time, that's what fasting is. Fasting is not just trying to lose weight. I'm talking about biblical fasting. You replace food with prayer. The times that you would eat, You do not eat and you pray. You know what you're doing? You're feeding that new man. You're telling that old man no. Have you ever skipped a meal or skipped two meals or tried to? Your flesh gets so, mine does. Amen. Look at me. I know I can afford to skip a few meals. I understand that. But if I do skip a few, my flesh gets mad at me. Amen. I think my wife gets mad sometimes. My flesh gets mad at me if I skip a few meals. And it starts yelling at me and screaming at me and all these other kind of things. Why? That old man, he just loves being fed. He loves the worldly pleasures and loves those things. And so you tell him no. When if you do any prayer or fasting, try to get a hold of God, you're putting that old man down and exalting Jesus Christ in your life. Not only number one, does a dead man need to accept the reality of their passing, but number two, and I'm hurrying, the dead man needs to accept the reality of their position. Romans chapter number 6, look at verse number 3. Y'all still with me? Romans chapter 6, verse 3, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Whenever Jesus Christ saved you, he baptized you into his death, and as a result, you were baptized into his death and were buried with him. That's not talking about water baptism. We're talking about the Holy Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one flesh. Whenever you were saved, Jesus Christ took that old man and he baptized you with him, just like he was, and he killed that old man and he buried that old man. So you know what you have to realize after you get saved? You got to realize where your position is. That old man is buried with Christ. You can and will, through Christ, have the victory over that sin and over the things in your life. If you realize where that old man, he's buried. I've heard stories again, and these things creep me out, of people that were buried, and they dig them up years later, and there's scratches at the top of the thing before they realize they could test them to find out if they're really dead. If I croak over, please make sure that I'm gone before you stick me in a hole in the ground. Amen? Make sure there's no chance of me coming back, because that would terrify me, being buried alive. Amen? But there's been stories, I'm sure it hasn't happened recently, at least I hope not, but stories of people being buried alive. But once that person's buried and they're down there in that hole, they're not coming back up. They do not have, a dead person does not have the ability to unbury themselves. And you have to realize that. And when you got saved, you were buried. Realize your position. You were buried with Christ into his death. The Bible says in Colossians 3:3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. At salvation, you were placed in the body of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. And that is your position right now. You're in Christ Jesus. The Bible says there that we're baptized into his death. You know, whenever you got saved, that old man literally died spiritually. Because of this death, we can live through Jesus Christ. So not only does a dead man need to accept the reality of their passing, the reality of their position, but thirdly, they need to accept the reality of their potential. Look at verse number 4, Romans 6:4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should walk in the newness of life. A dead man must realize the reality of their potential. You realize that through Jesus Christ, you can do anything for God. This missionary family, they're going to Chile. Man, and he said God called him at a young age saying, this is where I want you to go. And God provided all that and he worked it all out. But that's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to realize your potential. Whenever Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he was placed in that tomb. The Bible says he went to hell for us. He took our sins there. And then he rose up from the grave on that third and glorious day. We serve a risen Savior. Whenever you came down and got saved, and you got down on this altar, or wherever you were, you knelt down and you said, God, I accept that you died on the cross for my sins. I know that you were buried and you rose again. Lord, would you come in my heart and save me? You know what the Holy Spirit does? He grabs that old man and he sticks him under. And what comes up? The new man. The new man. I talked on salvation and went through all those things, and we'll do it again sometime if we need to, but talked about that spiritual circumcision and all the things that God did for you when He saved you. And when you came back up, now you have two natures. You have a new man and an old man. And we're supposed to live after the new man. We're supposed to live after the following of the Holy Spirit of God. But what holds a lot of Christians back is that old man. That desire to do things that don't please God. That desire to sin. All the things we have in our life. The music and the way that we dress, the way that we act. All these things. Do you do those things to please God, or do you do it to please yourself? And if you can answer that question, you know who you're following. And if it's that old man, and you're doing it just to please you, you don't care what God thinks, you don't care what anybody else thinks, you don't care about winning nobody to God, or you don't care about winning your family, you don't care about the blessings of God, you just want to be pleased yourself, then you're following after that old man. Say, what do I need to do? Reckon him to be dead. That's what Paul said. He said, you're dead unto sin. You just need to reckon that old man dead, and you need to live after the new man. Ask God to forgive you. Get up and do right. You realize Jesus Christ, He went to the cross. Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, He didn't die for His sin. He died for your sin. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He took your sin. When He went to the grave, He took your place. When He went to hell, He took your place. And He did it for you. And you know why He did that? Because He wants you to live. Christ died so that you could be alive. Christ died so that you can live through Him. Ephesians 2, 5 through 6, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Christ took our sin. He died. He went to hell for us, and He arose for us. And He did that so the day you got saved, you could become a new man in the Lord. I hope this is making sense to you. And you know, God's given us a commission here at the end of verse number 4. Look at the end of verse number 4. Even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. You know, if you're saved, you should walk in a manner that is consistent with a new life. So what do you mean by that? I'm talking about new music, new lifestyle, new everything. It should not be the same as the old man. It should be something that pleases the Lord Jesus Christ. New hobbies, a new life. This new life is possible because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. We have a new nature. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that ye were the children of wrath, but now you're a son of God. They sang it this morning about being the heritage and the family of God. Before you got saved, you were a child of wrath. Now you're in the family of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You got a new nature, a new creature. You're a new man through the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Andrew, all right, we're a new man through Christ. Why do we struggle with the old man? And I'm here to tell you, there's not one person sitting in this room that's sinless. There's not. I know, I see some halos this morning. I don't have one. Amen. There's not one person sitting in this room that's sinless. And every time we do sin, what are we fighting with? This old man. This old nature. Brother Charlie said it when he preached a couple weeks ago, and I've been preaching it for 2 years here. It's hard. If I could lose my salvation, I'd do it on 65. Driving. Amen. There are some people that do not know how to drive out there. And I'm telling you that there's not one of us in here that is sinless. And we've got these two natures, the old man and the new man, and they're fighting back and forth every single day. Look over at Romans chapter number 8. Turn over one chapter. I told you I try to keep you right here. So you have these two natures that are struggling back and forth. The new nature and the old nature. Romans chapter number 8, and look at verse number 12. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Say, Brother Andrew, how do I fix this problem? How do I fix this problem with struggling? And I've had Christians come up to me before and say, Brother Andrew, I can't get the victory, and I can't get the victory in my life over this or over that or whatever it is. I struggle with it. How do I get the victory? And the answer is, you've got to die to self and live after the Spirit. You cannot just tell yourself, no, I'm not doing that, but you have to fill that void with something else. You've got to read your Bible and pray and be faithful to church and all those things and live after the Spirit. All right, I'm going to try to do a very feeble attempt at an illustration this morning. This is the best way I know how to do this. And I asked the missionary if she'd help me. Her first service here, she's going to help me with an illustration. All right, and so you got a new man and an old man. Two natures, if you can go and come up. All right, so I'm actually having her husband come too. All right, he's going to come up here, and he's going to lead her to the Lord. This is what he's doing on the mission field. He's going to try to lead people to the Lord. And so he comes up, and he takes the Bible, and he leads it, and he leads his wife to the Lord. All right? Have you? So she comes in, and she prays, and she asks the Lord Jesus Christ to come in her heart and save her. All right, praise the Lord. She's a new man. I'm not going to ask her to get down, but she, most time people get down on the altar and they'll pray and they'll get down. And the very moment they get saved, God takes that old man and he buries it. And then when she stands up a new man. We've had people get saved here at the church. And the first thing we do is come and shake their hand, welcome them to the family of God, give them the right hand of fellowship and say, praise the Lord, brother, you're a child of the King now. You got saved. What was difference 5 minutes ago? They were just an old sinner, but now they're a sinner saved by the grace of God. Something happened. Brother Heitz has led several. Sister Heitz down here at the altar, and as soon as they stand up, there's something different. Now everybody's going to come shake their hand and say, welcome to the family of God. Brother, you're saved now. Amen. Something happened. That old man was buried. And when they stood up, the new man stood up. All those sins were forgiven. They're all under the blood of Calvary. The Bible says you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. God doesn't care about your past. Amen. He saved you. He put all that under the blood. And when you stand up, no longer are you in bondage to any sin. Now God can begin to do the work in your life. I've had people tell me before, I can't get saved and I can't come to church until I get my life straightened out. Well, I'm telling you, my friend, you will not get your life straightened out until you get saved. It's not going to happen. Amen. Get saved. Let God do the work. And He'll work from the inside and He'll start changing and doing with that new man. And He'll work His way out if you'll let Him. But all right, thank you, brother. You can sit down. But she's going to stay up here. So now she's saved. Praise God for it. All right, and the first thing the preacher's going to tell her is you need to start reading your Bible, and you need to pray to God, and you need to get in a good Bible-believing church. If you need one, there's one right here. Amen? How convenient. All right, so you get in church, and you start coming, you start reading your Bible, and the more she does that, the new man grows and gets stronger. All right, but somewhere down the line, she stops reading her Bible. All right, she's not praying like she used to. Usually Bible reading and praying are the first things to go. She still comes to church sometimes, and all right, you go out and then come back into church. All right? And so she got saved, and praise the Lord for that. She was reading her Bible. She was doing good. And the new man on the inside, the Bible says you're like a babe in Christ when you first get saved. And we have some baby Christians in here. Okay? So this right here is a representation of the spiritual man that's inside of her. Okay? And she's doing pretty good. She's growing good. She's 10 years old. Right? Last year, amen, a couple months ago, but it was last year. So she's reading her Bible, she's praying, and she's growing. The Bible says that when you first get saved, you're like a newborn desiring the sincere milk of the Word. The very first day you got saved, you can't walk into Sunday school and teach about the 10 kingdoms and the 10 toes and all that kind of thing. You'll be confused as all get out. And some of you still are confused about that when I mention it. Tribulation and all these Bible doctrines, that's the meat of the Word. All right, and so as a newborn, you got to have the milk of the Word. You got to read your Bible and learn about salvation and learn what God did for you and all those things. But the more you feed it, just like my little baby Emma, she's 1 year old. She'll be 2 here in a few months. Even right now, I cannot throw a T-bone steak on her plate. I can't do it. I can't throw a T-bone steak on her plate. She would choke to death and die, would she not? I got to cut her food up. And it wasn't too long ago. It had to be soft food. Amen. I don't know how babies eat that nasty stuff, but it has to be soft, and they got to eat all that, whatever it is that's in that jar. Amen. But that's how it starts off. Now, Emma, I put some little pieces of pizza on her plate, and she eats more pizza than the other two kids combined. She's eating a lot. She's growing. And as she gets older, now Ella, she's bigger, and I can give her bigger pieces of meat, but she's growing. And me, I'll take a whole steak whenever you want to give me one. Amen. I'm good to go on the steak. Okay, so that's the illustration of a baby growing. The same thing with your spiritual man. There's a spiritual man on the inside of you that starts out a baby. And you start feeding it. You say, how do you feed it? Church, fellowship, Bible, praying, giving, all these things of the Christian life, you're feeding it. And you start off small and you feed it. And it begins to grow. And then now she's 10 years old and doing great. And man, so she's doing these. But then she starts neglecting her Bible some more. All right. Go back out. So as she's saved, and she was doing good. She was reading her Bible. She was praying. She was going to church. Well, now she stopped reading her Bible. I'm talking about feeding the old man. She starts skipping out on some church services. Uh-oh. The new man's smaller. That spiritual girl is not... How old are you? She lost 2 years off of her spiritual life. Why? Because she stopped feeding it. Because she stopped praying. Because she stopped reading her Bible like she ought to. And now she's hit and miss on church. She'll be there sometimes. Maybe sometimes she won't be there. And she stops feeding it. And next thing you know, it's getting smaller. Now physically, she's not getting any smaller. She's still feeding the old man. She's still enjoying the things of this life and doing the things. And the old man looks like it's fine. But on the inside, that spiritual man's getting smaller. Now, I'm sure she's still got a loud voice. Do you got a loud voice? Okay, so but that 10-year-old's older. She knows a little bit more. And she could talk and say, and tell her, no, we don't need to do that. We need to read our Bible. We need to turn off that television show. We need to read our Bible. But now that spiritual man's just getting smaller. All right, so she goes out. All right, and she's still living her life. But she's not reading her Bible. She's not praying. She's not going to church. She's not giving like she ought to. She's not doing the things in the Christian life that we have to feed that new man. All right? So now, uh-oh. Now the spiritual man, now look how small she is. I'm trying to give you all just a visual illustration of what happens in a Christian's life. They start out good. They go to church. They read the Bible. They pray. Everything's going good, that new man. But then they start to slack off. And next thing you know, you got a new man that is just barely... Now she's having to carry her in here. She can't even walk in on her own. Now, I know she can. She's four, but for the illustration purpose. Now she's walking in. And you know what? We got churches full of people that the new man, the spiritual man, is on life support. If you're saved, you're saved and you're going to heaven. And thank God for it. Cannot lose that salvation. But the new man is starving, slapped to death. Thank you. Y'all can have a seat. She can go back to there. She goes on with her life. Now she's 4 years old, right? So that new man was growing. That new man was doing good. But now it's going backwards. Have y'all ever seen those commercials? I don't like it. It just breaks my heart when I see them. And that's why they put them on TV. But them kids over in these other countries that are that big around and they're starving to death. And you can see their bones and you can see their ribs and see everything. Amen. I haven't seen my ribs in a long time. But amen. But they're, you know, you see them, and you're just so sad. But you know what? When I see that, that's the spiritual condition of most people in church. Isn't that sad? Is it not? That's sad. We're all healthy. We're all eating. We're doing good. We're enjoying the world. We're enjoying life. Enjoying television, and we're feeding that old man with television. We're feeding it with entertainment. We're feeding it with social media. We're feeding it and feeding it and feeding it and feeding it, and the new man is starving to death. The new man hasn't read their Bible. We're starting off this new year, and every year it seems like Christians are like, man, I'm going to read my Bible through this year and make it about a month, and then they're done. I'm going to try to do devotions every day. I'm going to try to pray every day. I'm going to try to do this. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing to try to do that every year. But I'm telling you, you need to feed that new man. That old man's getting fed just fine. Amen? You look at me, I'm getting fed fine. I do things I enjoy. I enjoy football. I enjoy all these things. But Christians, we're feeding ourselves so much with this world, and the new man is dying. You say, what do I need to do, Brother Andrew? Let me read you one last verse. Told you I wouldn't have you turn over there. Would she mind playing the piano for me for the invitation, if you don't mind? Just play something softly. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians 5, 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What are you saying, Brother Andrew? That verse says that if you walk in the Spirit of God, you will not. That's what the Bible says. I'm not making that up. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Brother Andrew, how do I get the victory? How do I turn this thing around? Walk in the Spirit. What's the Spirit? You get in that Bible, you read, you pray. The fruit of the Spirit. You say, how do I know if I'm walking in the Spirit? It's the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, meekness. All those things. Do you have those fruits in your life that you're walking after the Spirit? I'm telling you, the times that I get away from God, and you say, you get away from God? Yeah, I do. I'm still in this old flesh. I'm a pastor of a church. And you know what? There's times that I find myself saying, you know what? I haven't prayed today. There might be a couple days go by. And I'm telling you, I'm just a man just like everybody else in here. I put on my pants the same way, get up and go to work. But there's been times where I've gone 2 or 3 days and I said, you know what? I have not spent time in prayer. And the new man can feel it. Feels like he hasn't eaten. We talk about the old man not eating. You go 2 or 3 days without eating. You go from this Sunday to next Sunday without one drink of water, without one drop of food, without any meat, without any bread or milk, if you can find any because of the snowstorm. But you go all week without eating one time, and you tell me how you feel next Sunday. Don't drink any water. If you're still alive and you're still kicking, tell me how you feel next Sunday, and I'll tell you how your new man feels. I'll tell you how that new man feels without getting any Bible, without getting any prayer, with missing church, with not spending time in fellowship one with another. The Bible has a lot to say about fellowship, does it not? We do First Sunday fellowship here at the church. We're having it here in a few weeks in February. You know why we do that? That's all a part of that Christian just feeding off each other, spiritually speaking. When I see Brother Hodge and Brother Johnny excited about church, guess what? I'm excited about church. I want to go to church, and I want to be a part of it, and I want to go out visitation, and I want to do all these things. We feed off each other. But that new man, I'm telling you, I'm sad to say, brother, we got a lot of them that are in ICU this very morning, the new man, just barely living. Why? That old man's being fed. That new man's not being fed at all. You could take two dogs, same size, same breed and everything, and only feed one of them and not ever feed that other one. And I'm telling you, the one that you feed all the time will beat down that other one. It'll beat it down. It'll control it until eventually that thing dies.